Five or four. Wait, Joel, give me a countdown, baby.
3, 2, 1.
Who's the best show here?
That show!
Who's the best show here?
That show!
All right, that's pretty good. That's the best one yet.
Pizza, pizza.
Big O! Showtime!
Just swinging in the breeze.
Were you making egg foo young in the kitchen?
Lovely.
I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing tech show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that'll link it bad. For the streaming, go direct to DLNTS.org. And IRC channel is a LinuxLink.net. Bound tech show. Just sit right there, cause the castle's just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 835 of the LinuxLink Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have back from the dead, Pat.
Hey, I feel much better.
Then we have Joel.
Good evening.
We got Fly Rich.
From the Hughes Outpost, Orlando Command.
Then we got Joe.
Hello, hello.
So before we're going to start the show, Rich, you had brought up an interesting topic. Now, I don't know if you want to just refresh or...
Yeah, sure.
Just quickly retell it.
My father-in-law, a couple of great things. One of the best things, I'll tell the longer version of the story. I know you've all heard this one before. I used to fly into town. My father-in-law would be like, I'll pick you up at the airport. And he's like, I'm like, okay, great. Thanks, Bob. But he's like, I'll buy you dinner. I'm like, oh, okay, Bob. Thanks. Great. He's like, but you're paying for it. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, my Windows Vista computer's got the blue screen of death again. He didn't know to say that, but that's what it was. I'm like, oh. And it got so bad, I'm finally like, let me take it back to my house and see what I can do with it. I can't fix it on site. And then I'm talking to my wife. I said, based on what I would bill out at, why don't we just buy him an iMac? And then he calls up. He's like, yeah, you know, maybe you don't want to fix the computer. We're thinking about buying a new one. I'm like, would you consider getting an iMac? So they got an iMac, and now the only problems I hear is like, you know, how do I attach this? How do I print this? That kind of thing. Well, he had something go with the mouse. I don't know what happened, but it sounded kind of dumb. And I asked my wife if she could stop by because I was in Orlando, or my daughter, maybe either one of them could look at it. He brings it to, I don't know if it was the Geek Squad. Who's the Geek Squad? Is that Best Buy?
Yeah.
They sell him a $200 contract. They say the dongles were loose for the keyboard and the mouse in the back. They pushed them in and everything was fine. Which I was just saying to the guys before the show, if I had a computer store and somebody came in with a problem like that, I'd push the dongles in for them. I'd say, get out of my store. Have a nice day. I wouldn't charge them because I'm not going to write anybody up for that. And Dan said he was going to tell me. What were you going to say?
Well, first off, Rich, I feel for your father-in-law. And I agree with you 100%. For them to charge a $200 contract and plug in the dongle is obscene and it's a slap in the face. But I've been on the other side there, and I think the big mistake that you make right there, right? And this is not... I don't mean to disparage all people that work at Geek Squad or places like that or anything like that, right? But I don't think you or myself or most anybody that we would look at that and say, no, dongle, would end up working for those places for an extended period of time. You know what I mean? Because I when I worked at Staples, that was the exact same mindset.
That's like what you did.
Somebody would come in with a problem, and there were a few people that would kind of, you know, make sure nobody's looking, see what the problem is, and, you know, send them on the way if it was just like what you're saying, because that is absurd. But like most of the other people there and the manager and everything, they were always pushing, like, sell them a service contract, bring it back. It's $90 just to look at it, you know, and something stupid like pushing in. I could see them charging for that. I there were so many times people came in and I'm like, look, you don't want to bring your shit here, right? They're going to charge you out the ass for this. And it's ridiculous what they're going to have you doing and make you pay for everything, you know?
Right.
Yeah. So I saw it firsthand, and you're right. It is obscene. But then again, I believe that a lot of people who feel that way wouldn't continue working there for very long.
Well, and I understand, hey, look, we're all in business. You know, whatever we do, it's a business. And would I work for free? I'm like, damn right I'd work for free. If they gave Lamborghinis away and electricity away, damn right I'd work for free any day of the week. But there are things I couldn't in all good conscience charge anyone for, and that would be definitely one of them. And look, you know, I had it tonight. You know, one of my buddies, or I've been helping him for years, and he's like, hey, I need some help with my computer. I remoted in as soon as I got home, fixed his issue, and he's like, hey, no problem. And a couple years back, he reciprocated. He bought me a whole bunch of TrueSpec pants and shorts and stuff like that. He's like, hey, this is for helping me out for all these years. I'm like, holy cow, you know, which wasn't cheap stuff, so it was greatly appreciated.
But no, how did your father-in-law feel about that? That whole thing that went down.
You know, Bob's getting older. And I'm like, Bob, you paid $200 for them pushing the dongle. He's like, no, I got a 1-year service cut. I'm like, but Bob, you paid $200 for them pushing dongles.
But see, he didn't really know any better, right? Maybe, but not. It's like to him, they fixed his problem and they were like,
they helped him.
Yeah, they helped even him. They took advantage of him like that, you know?
Well, all right. Thanks. So can I tell you really why I'm mad? Why I'm unhappy is because we went to breakfast a few weeks back.
He wouldn't let you get the sausage.
No, we went to breakfast a few weeks back. My wife pissed off my mother-in-law, and it wasn't a cheap place. And for the three of us, for my daughter and my wife and I, it was $50. And I'm like, you know, she's like, two checks. It's like, I was like, F you. I'm like, Terry, you need to shut up. Because first off, my in-laws, they eat out every meal. And, you know, it seems like you hit a certain age and you don't cook at home anymore. And me, 7 a.m., if I'm up at 7 a.m., I want breakfast at 7:05 a.m. You know, as soon as my feet hit the kitchen, I'm making breakfast. I don't want to, you know, drive an hour. Like, they'll drive an hour or two, go to some place for breakfast. It's like, you're out of your freaking mind. So, first off, I didn't want to go out to breakfast. I'll go out to lunch or out to dinner, but I don't want to go out to breakfast. And then because my wife pissed off her mom, I had to pay $50-something for breakfast. I'm like, from now on, no more tech support for my dad, my father-in-law. That's it. He's out. Because I had to pay for breakfast. And he gave Geek Squad $200.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's like one of those things where it's like, you know, when I was in professional services, if somebody emailed me something, one of my past clients, one that I just did work for or something, and it took less than 5 minutes, I would just do it. You know what I mean?
I think that's a very reasonable thing. That's a reasonable cutoff. You know what?
Right.
If it's going to take me a couple hours, then that's different. But I had one, all right, my wife, I think, took her computer into the Geek Squad, and they ran, I don't know if it was gparted or whatever. They ran a bootable disk on it and virus checked it. And they wanted like $20-something for that. And I started asking them questions, and like, you should have seen them. They were like the deer in the headlights. Mm-hmm. They had no answer. I'm like, in other words, you mean you put a boot disk in it and you ran a diagnostic and you want $20 for that? They're like, they like froze in their tracks. They don't
it's
even
automation,
know what Linux
dude.
Is. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, oh yeah.
It's automation, man. That, you know, they stick the boot thing. Oh, it does everything and tells you what's wrong and all that stuff. So that saves them some money and
well,
lets them make
from you actually
from
having
yours.
People that to train no people shit. Or teach people so they actually know something other than running the cash register.
Right.
Which
right.
They're eliminating that part also.
They're not. Yeah, and you know, there's some people that have an absolute problem using a self-service. I don't.
Well,
because
you know,
I,
it depends. It depends if I have that one frickin' barcode that doesn't scan, and then I gotta wait 20 minutes for
well,
somebody to come over.
That's your damn fault when you picked it up off the shelf, dude.
Right.
But you know, that's like now. Now, one thing I Sam's Club has Scan and Go, and that is fantastic. So basically, as you put crap in the cart, you scan it with your phone, you get to the front. I finish
no
it off on
way.
My phone.
That is very cool.
Yep, finish it off on the phone, they barcode it, and then they scan one of the things in the cart, and they briefly look at things just to make sure I'm not trying to get over with something, and then they let me walk right out. No receipt, no nothing.
Eventually, it's just going to be you throw it in the cart, and it rings it up, you know?
Yeah, well, it's funny you say that. Now, the Myers, which is a, believe it or not, a family-run grocery store that's in many states now, but they have an equivalent. The only downside with theirs is you have to finish it off at one of the self-service ones. So basically, when you're done on the app, you basically say, I'm done, and then it gives you a QR code that you scan on the register. Okay, that part usually is fine. But the thing is you finish it out in the register, all right? But if you didn't bring your own grocery bags, you then got to kind of unload it anyway and load it in the bags so that you can carry it in the house. So basically, if I go to do that, before I go to try that the next time, I'm going to get me a stash of those reusable bags and then take them in the store with me. And then as I scan things, put it in the cart and put it in the bag. That way I don't have to bag my crap up at the front. But, I mean, it's
my
because labor
you,
costs money.
Cool question for you.
You sure?
With the Sam's Club, though, you have to pay by your either credit card checking account or something like that, right?
Correct.
But with the Myers, you could pay by cash if you wanted to because it goes to a register, correct?
Theoretically, yes. Okay. Yes. Now, the one kind of limitation at Sam's Club is if you go over a certain dollar amount, which I never do, and then that dollar amount's something like $300 or $400 or something like that, I never spend that much in one Sam's Club trip. Usually right around 180, 170, depends on what I threw in a cart. Like last week I threw a LG headset in the cart, so it was up a little bit more than usual because I had $50 headphones in there. But which I'll talk about later. But other than that, though, I mean, like this, my typical weekly run. You know, buying a pallet of toilet paper and coffee and eyeglass wipes, or lately we've been getting a lot of the stew beef at Sam's Club, and I'll make a big old crock pot full of beef stew for dinner. And last time I bought like 6 pounds of ground beef there. You know, that all, yeah, I'd never have to go to the register unless. Like I said, unless it's now there actually probably is one other time you would have to go to the register, and that's if you wanted something that Sam's sometimes has some of the higher price items. Instead of the actual product you pick up and scan and throw it in the cart or pick up and throw in your cart, it's a card. So then once you go up front, they scan the card and then they go get the product for you. And that usually happens with things like computers and printers and stuff like that. But I mean, it's great. I mean, do I feel guilty walking past the registers with hundreds of people at them? Nope.
Well, I guess they could even further reduce weight or whatever it is, but as you scan those things, have them ready for you, like right when you're ready to go. If it's in the app, it should
be. That's an idea if they do. Yeah. But,
instead of you having to take a card somewhere, you just. When you're ready to leave, you might even have to click a button or something. That way they know that it's good to go, and you just go pick it up on the way out.
Now, in a lot of cases, now sometimes people think that this stuff technology does reduce the amount of jobs at a store, and it may do that. But I also think it increases the amount of bandwidth that they can do, because basically now you have an infinite number of cash registers, and you know, because every person who has a smartphone that uses the app walking in a store essentially has a cash register, you know, so they can push a whole lot more volume. And I think that's really where, like, especially Sam's Club is going with that. Now, Walmart has it too, but not in our area yet. Because that basically cuts down a like an hour or so trip to Sam's Club down by 20-30 minutes at least, depending on how big the registers are. Now, when I don't use that, I usually go through they have a self-checkout there, and they don't have a limit, unlike some of the self-checkouts that the grocery stores have. So they don't have a limit. And the nice thing with the Sam's Club ones is that instead of like the little flat like scanner thing, it's a gun that's docked to the station. You just pick up the gun and scan everything. You don't even have to take it out of the cart. Oh, and you can also choose whether you get your receipt in email or in paper form.
So the email receipts. That's nice, because me then too. If you ever have an issue, it's like, I got it right here. That's a big deal.
Yep. Yep. But in, you know, it's just the direction that they're going to go. I've used the kiosk thing at McDonald's. I don't think my local McDonald's has it, but I know the one I ate at when I was not last year, because I didn't go down there last year, but the year before we had a trip down to Lake Mary office, and we stopped for breakfast at a McDonald's, and I had one of those there, and that's what I used. So I mean, I just threw my corporate card in the machine there, and then I'm trying to remember if they brought the food to you, or I don't think they brought the food to you. I think they just called your number or called your name.
They threw it at you, right? They set it on fire and probably threw it at you.
We were there for breakfast, so I mean, it didn't weigh that much. It's like a egg McMuffin and some hash browns or something, you know. But you know, it's that I don't think it's gonna actually result in reducing numbers at grocery stores and retail all that much.
Reducing numbers of what?
Employees.
It absolutely will.
Well, it absolutely will.
That there's no way behind that. It absolutely will.
It depends though, because it depends on how many techs you need to take care of all the equipment. You know,
You talking about? You're not gonna have maybe one, if anything.
Well, you'll still
you're
have
not
registers.
Replacing you, you. Trust me, they are not going to replace cashiers with techs. All right. That is not going to save them money. That is not going to save them money at all.
No, but the jobs they do have are going to pay more.
Yeah, but again, you're talking about a certain class of jobs to be replaced by a specialized class of job, right? That there's not going to be as many people that will be able to fulfill that position. There won't be that many positions to be filled. So you're absolutely going to reduce the number of employees at a store, an automated store.
Maybe over time, but like right now, no. But
that's precisely the reason they're doing it.
Right? I have pudding for brains.
That saves them the cost of that theoretically. But there's payoffs, you know, there's downsides to it.
Yep. Well, there's downsides to everything.
Have you guys seen the useless fucking robots in some of these supermarkets? They have them in the Stop and Shops and the Giants. It's Marty the robot. He doesn't fucking do anything. He just goes up and down the aisles.
What is Marty the robot, man?
It's
I never
a
saw
stupid
that.
Robot. It's new. It's a few months old. He goes up and down the aisles. He goes up and down the aisles, and he's like in the middle of the fucking aisle, being really annoying, getting in the way. And he's supposed to report if there's like spills
and debris,
but he doesn't actually clean it. It's the most fucking useless thing.
He's the spill,
right?
Oh,
it's like if you see the spill, why don't they have the fucking robot clean it up?
Exactly.
How big is it? Does it have like a face and everything?
He's like the fucking robot from Lost in Space. It's enormous.
You call it Marty the robot?
Yeah, they have like a face like painted on the back of his head.
I'm looking for it. Oh well. Oh no way.
And he's like $60,000, I think, too. He's not cheap.
No.
At all.
So it's got the googly eyes.
Yeah, it's so annoying.
It looks pretty annoying.
It is. He gets in the way constantly. Constantly.
It's one of those things where if he got in my way, I'd fucking move him too if I could.
I don't know. I think it's just a novelty thing.
I think they probably don't have them cleaning up because they have to probably account for the loss. You know, like if somebody broke a bottle of grape juice on the floor, you know, they got to make sure that that's taken out of the inventory. Yeah, well, all we have to do is scan a barcode if it still existed.
It still has to have a trash receptacle.
Yeah. It sounds like a proof of concept project they're introducing in an iterative steps.
Yeah, that's probably what it is. He's really useless at this point.
Actually, I'll have like a whole line of carts behind them with like each different cart does a function, like clean up a spill, put a product back on the shelf. It'll just be this like train going through the whole store. Does he talk at all to people?
He does, yeah. He does.
Wow. That is something.
Teach it to swear.
Well, yeah, what is
it? Teach it to the customers.
In Walmarts, in the parking lots around here, like the one in Orlando, and where else was I? It wasn't a good neighborhood. They have these trailers, but it's a surveillance trailer. So it's a trailer with like a big mast on it with like six different cameras on it and a solar
panel. Oh, yeah.
And if you get too close to it, it's like, step away, do not interfere with. Kind of like the old Cobra car alarms.
Why did I see this thing of the Marty robot, and I keep thinking of the ship in WALL-E? You know, caution, rogue robot.
You know what? I didn't click on the link to see it. Now I want to see it. It's the Mashable article, right?
It's like a stick. Yeah, it's like a stick.
It looks like Mr. Fusion.
Exactly.
From Back to the Future.
It looks like somebody just like took one of those big vacs at a car. What is it I'm looking for? A
car wash?
Yeah, a car wash. Those big vacuum cleaners. Ripped the hose off and put it on wheels.
It really does. It looks just like Mr. Fusion.
What a bargain for 60 grand, right?
I wonder what that thing's going to do at the bottom, or is that the charging port?
That's where you put in the garbage so it can, you know, do fusion.
It looks like a smoker's pole on wheels.
Yeah. Yeah, it does, don't it?
That's where Alan can put his cigars. When he's done. Oh. That's interesting. Wow. I wonder why they chose. So is that only in Easton or is that all over?
They're all over the place now.
Oh, wow. That is something.
Yeah, Giant and Stop and Shop is the same company. So, like in New York and like New Jersey, it's Stop and Shop, and in Pennsylvania, it's Giant.
I think it's because Giant bought Stop and Shop, right?
Something like that.
Man, I don't ever remember seeing a Stop and Shop.
But there's one in Phillipsburg.
Huh. Dun dun dun.
None of them hold a candle to Wegmans, or actually, I heard, don't you have a Publix down there, man?
No, there's no Publix here. So.
No, Dan does.
There is a Publix in Williamsburg, I think. So, wait. There is one around here. I haven't been to it yet.
Yeah, Rich says it's the place to go, right? I've heard good things about them. Well, you know what's great about them? Go ahead, Rich. I think you're gonna say the same thing, but they're actually employee owned.
So the Publix are more expensive than Walmart. So we usually split up our shopping between Publix and Walmart. But the service, the people that work at the Publix are really good, and it's not just because my daughter works there. They've always been really good. You know, the level of help that you get from people, as opposed to, and I don't want to trash all Walmarts or all Walmart. Can't talk Walmart people, but it seems that there's a little bit more attention to making sure these people, you know their jobs, know what goes on, that kind of thing, as opposed to people that you have at Walmart.
Yeah, it's to me, it sounds like the Chick-fil-A of grocery stores, where, you know, with exception of the owners really are the employees. So it's the largest employee-owned company in the nation, I think, probably in the world, maybe. But when you as an employee have a stake in the company, you're going to work a little bit differently. You know, and I think that's one of the reasons why they do well. And, you know, Chick-fil-A, it's just there's a different reason why they do well. I think it's just how Chick-fil-A treats their employees. And, you know, they're not like a lot of these retail that stores that say you have to work Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Well, you always get Sunday off at Chick-fil-A. So, I mean, but, you know. So it's companies like that I do like to do business with if I can, you know. It's not always an alternative, though.
Yeah, we have a Publix. So, Joel, next time you're in Williamsburg, you can visit Publix because that's where it is.
Yep, and Wawa, too.
Or, well, Joel, in a week or two, you can visit Publix. There's a bunch in Orlando.
This is true. Yeah, I actually probably do have to go to the Publix when I'm there because I'll probably have to buy a jug of water. Although a lot of times I'll skip putting the water in my CPAP. I need to get back into the habit because it's starting to get to be that time of the year where the air inside is dry. And yeah, so then I wake up and my mouth feels like a desert, you know?
Yep.
If I put water in it, it doesn't. So.
I'm going to tell a story that's around about technology, but it's mostly gripe. I travel a fair amount on highways, so I do a 300-mile round trip to between work and home each week, and that's from Orlando to Jupiter, which is in Palm Beach County. And going down the turnpike Thursday night, I hit a hunk of tire, and I didn't think anything of it. It was raining. It didn't sound bad. I was kind of hoping it just like slapped the bottom of the car, but it hit the front bumper cover. It took a hunk out. It put a couple of cracks in it, took one panel of the belly pan out, damaged the inner fender well, and the inner fender well cut a groove into my tire as I was driving. So whole cascade of, you know, failure. So I'm out, you know, my wife's at work. I'm in Orlando during the week. My daughter's at school, so nobody's going to be at the house. But between the cameras and the remote garage door opener, I put the key in a Ziploc bag and taped the Ziploc bag to the handle of my pressure washer in the garage. And the people called me, you know, the Geico inspector came, called me, and I opened the garage door. I watched them inspect the car because I got cameras and watched them put the key back in. And likewise, when the tow truck guy came, I was kind of happy. I watched him. He just had a wheel lift, and he was going to tow my car backwards, which, you know, you're dragging the front end on the ground. It's low. And then he was going to put a light bar with suction cups on my windshield, and he wrapped the wire, like rodeo style, around the mirror on my car. And I'm, like, twitching as I'm watching. And I'm like, yeah, you can't do that. I call him up. I'm like, hey, you can't do that. He's like, oh, I tow luxury cars like that. I'm like, that's fine. You don't tow this car like that. You can put the four-ways on, but not the lights like that. And
wait, what did he do?
He was going to have a cable going from the back of the tow truck to the front windshield of my car where he suction cupped a light bar onto for brake lights and signals.
Oh.
I'm like, yeah, nah, you're not doing that. He's like, oh, no, I tow luxury cars. I'm like, no, the cable is going to slap against the side of my car. Even if there was no grit, because I'm sure the cable's never been in the dirt ever, even if there's no grit in it, it's still going to be like scuffing up the side of my car because the side of my car would have to be perfectly clean also. I'm like, no, that's not happening. So nobody in my family drives a stick. My wife used to drive a stick. I don't know the last time she did, but he left the car in the middle of the driveway. And, you know, he's like, well, we're going to get a tow truck, come back. It'll be, you know, like an hour and a half. And I'm like, at that time, he didn't tell me. He's like, they'll come back with a tow truck. It'll be later in the day. And I look, and he just left the freaking car there. He didn't pull it up nice so other people can use the driveway. And then next guy came. I did the same routine, opened the garage door for him. He had a flatbed, and he took the car. But, it's I don't mean to talk down to people. I'm going to sound very elitist in what I'm about to say. There's a reason somebody works in a supermarket. There's a reason somebody works at a Walmart as opposed to a Publix. There's a reason somebody drives a tow truck as opposed to flying a jet airplane. And, you know, I don't know if this guy's got a perfect street rod or if he drives a 1970 jalopy. But I'll tell you what, if he had a nice car, he's not going to want somebody, you know, having some cable slapping along the side. It just kind of repulsed me a bit. And, I got a nice car. I mean, if it was my pickup truck, I mean, my Envoy, that's, you know, from 2007. Yeah, fine. Do it. I'm okay. But no, not my car. That's not flying.
So when they got to your place, did they call you on the phone? Or?
Yeah, they called me on the cell. But I was actually watching, you know, the garage cameras. You know, I had it live at my desk, and I'm just watching my garage cameras.
And then you just open the door for him, right? You say,
yeah, open.
You're on the phone. I say, all right, the door's opening. Go in. Yep. The key's taped right here.
Yep.
I'm watching you. And they're like, am I going to survive? Am I going to go in? And then the door's going to close behind me and a banjo music will start?
Right, right.
What's going on here? You should have had your face just like on a giant screen in the back of the garage.
Yeah, I actually do have a TV in the garage.
Which could be the big giant head.
Right.
Like they go in, and as soon as the garage door opens up, and they go start to walk in, your face pops on. And you're like, yeah, right over there, right where you're going.
My wife's got this Taekwondo dummy, and it's, you know, it's beige. It's all beige. You know, it's a torso. And so for, I don't know, maybe a year, we're all startled by it. Now we're used to it. But other people, when they come and go in the garage, they think there's a person, you know, like, you know, everybody jumps a little bit about it.
No, I know how that goes.
That's like today, I got my bi-monthly Harry's shipment. Thank you, Harry's. But I'm sitting in here working, and now my son and my wife, they went down to Columbus State to meet with Disability Services to work on getting him some allowances for when he's taking classes down there. Like he's going to be allowed to record the lectures with his phone, and he'll be able to get his book for the class in audio form, stuff like that. Anyway, but I'm sitting here working away and not thinking about much. I thought I heard a door open. I wasn't sure if it was them or not. But then I came out for some other reason. I said, anybody here? Nobody was here. Apparently they went somewhere else. But I looked on the shelf and my son had brought the Harry's in, and I'm like, uh-oh, I hope this is not like Amazon. Because you know you can do that now. You can add, if you have the specific lock system that works with the Echo, the Amazon delivery driver can just carry it right into your house.
Yeah, that ain't going to happen.
Yeah, me either.
You can go in my garage. I'm okay with that, but yeah. Nah.
Well, I think they also have something, too, where they can actually open your car, too. Which I'm like, no. But one thing I discovered today, too, I was diddling around in the Google Home app, and I discovered, now, my microwave, I didn't buy it for this reason, okay? But it actually has Wi-Fi in it, and actually will work with Google Home. I can actually turn on the hood light or the fan from my phone or from Google Home, although I tried it once and it didn't work. So, but which is not surprising, but it's surprising to me what you can add to Google Home nowadays. A lot of stuff, actually. Including Google Stadia, which I don't know if I'm interested in buying that or not.
I feel like Google Stadia, and this is going to sound terrible, I feel like Google Stadia feels more like where Linux was a few years ago, you know what I mean? It's like a small handful of older games that people played a long time ago. And maybe they improved it a little bit, but I know that was one of the biggest complaints when it launched. Was it last week it launched or the week before?
I think it was last week.
Yeah.
But you have, I think you, if you get the Premier kit, it's like, what, $129, and you get the controller and a Chromecast Ultra that apparently you can play on. I don't know what games are. Well, there's like, what, 12 games? Let's see them on their page. You got Assassin's Creed Odyssey, Attack on Titan 2 Final Battle, Baldur's Gate 3, Borderlands 3, Cyberpunk 2077.
Wait, is that available now?
I think so. Darksiders Genesis, Destiny 2, Destroy All Humans, Doom and Doom Eternal. Football Manager 2020. Woohoo!
Well, see, here's the problem, right? They advertise Cyberpunk 2077. Cyberpunk 2077 isn't coming out until next year. That's why I looked at this and I was like, wait a minute.
The previews look good, though.
Yeah, no doubt about it. But I was like, how's that on Stadia? So I don't trust this actual list of games. I know
Red that, Dead 2. Red Dead 2 I know is available.
Yeah, but Red Dead Redemption 2 has been out for over a year now,
yeah.
Which, again, you know, it's not that bad. I mean, it looks like for, what is it, $129, if it can play these games really well, as if you were running them off of a console or a PC, well, probably not as well as a PC, I don't think that. Yeah, but, like, all the other consoles, I think it might be decent, so long as you have the connection capable of running these. What do you think, Joe?
About Stadia?
Yeah.
Because
I know you play games, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's not the way that I would want to go with it. You're not playing them locally, so you don't even have a local copy. You don't really own it if they pull it from, because what you're paying for the hardware, you're paying for the service, and then you're paying for individual games that might not be there in 6 months.
I think there's certain games that you can get,
right? With certain the ones, service. The old ones, the ones, yeah, that you play and are fun, but they're not the big name titles,
right?
If you want something that's more of a big-name title, you have to pay for that as well. And then if Google loses their license for it, guess what? You can't play it anymore. You own a game you can't ever play.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the other... I just put an article from Digital Trends in the IRC. It says, Google Stadia sucks down over 10 gigabytes every hour. Woo-hoo-hoo! Yeah, you know... I want to spend just a little bit more and get a Nintendo Switch. And some of these games are even on the Switch, so.
I got a computer.
There's that, too.
Yeah, you know, I didn't really consider about a lot of people having a bandwidth cap, don't they? Or data cap?
It depends. Comcast, a lot of Comcast users do.
I like the idea of, you know, being able to play these games from any Chrome browser, but still, there's just a lot of risk there. And then you know how Google loves to start stuff up and then kill it off.
Well, considering how Google likes to cut off products after they get popular, like Yield, Google News.
Right.
Google Wave, Google Buzz.
Well, aren't they supposed to be getting rid of Hangouts, too?
Yeah, unless you pay for it. Now, Google, and now I keep seeing this being bandied about, but Google, apparently, if you use Google Messenger, they're basically pushing out RCS to all Google Messenger users, regardless of carrier.
RCS?
It is basically a replacement for SMS.
Isn't it like rich? It's rich. Can suck it. No, what is it? It's like rich text. It's not rich text messaging.
They're comparing it to iMessage.
Rich communication.
What are you saying about me? What are you saying about me?
I'm trying to remember what RCS
is. You're going to have a lot of fun when Joel's in town.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's rich communication services. It's like the rich text message.
All right, so I'm selling services. Big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, so essentially, it's like Google trying to do iMessage for Android.
You know, all right, so they are lagging behind on some of those things that in the Apple world you have. The ability to answer your... Well, actually, you kind of have that already. But I was going to say
well,
you
actually,
answer your phone
one of the
on
annoying
your computer
things
or other
is...
device, but...
But one of the annoying things with iMessage is I have an iPhone, which I use iMessage for SMS, all right? But iMessage will want to tie, since they don't give us, like, a corporate Apple Store, App Store account, we use our own on it, okay? So it wants to tie iMessage to my iPad, and basically so that when my work phone rings, my iPad will ring too, and I can answer my work phone from my iPad, and I'm like, I don't want to do that. I don't want my iPad to ring when my work phone's ringing. That happens to my wife all the time, if her phone is dead, that's actually kind of one time where it's actually useful is sometimes when her phone's dead, her iPad will ring when somebody tries to call her phone if it's too dead to power on, which can't happen with her. But but it's like, I don't want to tie my work phone and my iPad that I use in my downtime together. And I don't really, you know, I get why some Apple users think that's just great. I don't.
Hey, Joe. Yeah.
Well, I do like having Hangouts and having it being my backup phone. You know, something happens to my cell service, I can still use my computer to make a phone call.
True.
Or something happens to my phone, I can grab a tablet and make a phone call. What's up?
So to answer, go back to that question about Stadia. You don't have a play console, do you? Do you have a PlayStation or Xbox?
Yeah, actually, my wife is a big Xbox 360 fan, and then my former roommate left his Xbox One, and you know, I've turned it on, set it up, seen what it has, and that's about it.
Do you have the subscription service for either one of those? Okay, mm-hmm. So what they'd have with the Stadia Premiere Edition is $9.99 a month, and it's kind of like Xbox Gold, I think it is, or PlayStation Plus, where you get a few free games periodically. I don't know if it's monthly, but they give you some free games, and they released more free games. Like, they have Destiny 2 Collection is the big one that they released free for that. But if you don't want that service, you could use the Stadia for free, but you don't get any of the free games. You could buy games and play them on that, but you don't get any free games on a regular basis.
Okay, so even if you're not paying for the free service, you can still play the games that you've purchased?
Yes. You purchase the games through them, you can play them. But if you have the Premiere service, you get free games periodically. I don't want to say every month because they don't specify that, but it is periodically, and then you get discounts on buying games. So, you know, you're probably not going to get Cyberpunk 2077 included in your free games in the next year or two if you have Stadia. But you might get what? What do they have listed that's old?
Arcanum.
Yeah, you might get that. You might get Doom. You might get Just Dance 2020 when it's 2021, Starcraft. You know? So, yeah, StarCraft. So, something
Farming Simulator 19.
So, right. I mean, you know, I could, if I wouldn't even say, I don't know how well this would do. I was going to say, maybe if you travel a lot, it might be pretty cool. Because you take it with you in a hotel, but I don't know how well that's going to work on, like, a hotel watch.
Actually, it wouldn't work at all well at all, because there's no browser built into the Chromecast. So good luck trying to get it to connect to the hotel Wi-Fi.
Right, right. But wasn't it Apple a couple of years ago, maybe not even that long ago, that people started noticing movies just disappearing out of their library because Apple lost the license?
Yeah, that crap's been happening. It happens everywhere. Because whether it's, you know, Amazon or whatever it is where you quote-unquote buy the movie instead of watching it, renting it.
Well, that actually happened to me on my Kindle. I had, back when I actually had, well, I still have one of my Kindles. It's still kicking, but I never use it. But I bought a copy of the NIV Bible. And they brought out a new edition of that, and the old edition disappeared off my Kindle. And I'm like, what happened? You know, I'm like, and I call up Amazon support.
Now that's
bullcrap
when it's your Kindle, because that's your physical device.
Yeah. Right. Well, what happened? It's one of those weird things like that, where Zondervan, you know, brought out the new version and basically pulled the licensing from them for the old version.
How do you get new versions of the Bible? Just wondering.
Jesus
here.
Sent down an upgrade.
That's what I was thinking.
Well, they update the translations. I mean, the NIV is a translation from
The King James is a freaking translation. So
yeah.
Wait, did they update the translation, or did they like formatting stuff in there and everything?
Updated translation. You
know, barcodes, QR codes.
And they didn't like replace the version you have with the new one.
So were they?
No. Nope.
My question is were they retranslating the King James version or what?
I'm not sure whether the New International is a translation from King James or how it is. Let me look. But Zondervan owns a lot of the copyright on almost every Bible that's out there, except for, like, I think American Standard is actually copyright free, I think, and so is the World English Bible. And not even Eugene Peterson, who did the remix back in the what 90s, I think it was, would have done something like that.
So it's not Joe, it's not a translation of King James. They try to go back as far as they can into the original texts and get the translations and have scholars translate them. So from what it says over here, like a bunch of different biblical scholars, so they probably, there might be some contested issue areas where they have, you know, they find better text or... Yeah, whatever.
You know, and then you get some Christians who say, "Oh, KJV is the only thing for me." You know, whatever. I'm not that kind of Christian. I read all of the translations. I read the New International is the most common one I will read, but I quite like the messages. Is a true paraphrase.
Do you read the dropped or discounted books?
What do you mean, dropper? Oh, those ones. I'm not even sure if any of the translations I read actually have those. I'd have
they
to probably go
don't.
Back and
you'd
look
have,
at the Geneva.
You'd have to go and like get them yourself, and unless you're reading the Book of Jehovah.
I forget which ones.
The Watchtower.
I'm more read than a lot of Christians with regards to Bible translations, but I'm not that read. I know someone who would know for sure. Yeah, no worries. I know my pastor would know for sure, but and I know
your pastor
would probably
tell you not to read the other books.
No, I don't think he would.
Okay.
Maybe his dad would, but I don't think he would.
When you said the Book of Jehovah, did you mean the Jehovah Witness Bible?
Yeah. They have an extra book to their Bible.
Oh, the Book of Jehovah. I don't think I've ever read that.
Yeah, I mean, essentially the Bible isn't, I mean, it was never wrote as a complete work. It's just the assemblage of multiple works. So.
I knew the Mormons had their own, Book of Moroni, but I didn't know Jehovah's had their own. Yeah.
Yeah, Moroni. I can't name.
The Book of Mormon?
Sorry, Brent, Joe.
No, I can't name any of the other dropped or forgotten, well, not forgotten, but not included books from the Bible.
Sorry, not the Book of Moroni. It's the Book of Mormon, but it's written by Moroni. Why did I think it was the Book of Moroni? The name of the books.
You had macaroni for dinner?
Nah. Actually, I didn't.
So basically, Esdras, Tobit, Judith, the rest of Esther, Wisdom, Ecclesiasticus, and there's about 14 of what they call Apocrypha.
Thomas. It's in the Book of Thomas, and... Oh, wait, I'm thinking of something different. I'm sorry.
Probably are. I mean, there's the Doubting Thomas, but he's in the Bible as it stands today.
I'm thinking of not the Apocrypha. I'm thinking the opposite of that. Sorry. Sorry.
Oh, and Maccabees as well. But yeah, I mean, I'll read any of that, you know, like stuff that doesn't bother me, you know, because my pastor would probably encourage you to read that stuff. He might caution you about it, but he would encourage you to not just read the Bible, but study it and explore it and go beyond just reading it. And that's why I like him. That's why I like my pastor. So, I mean, he's not one of those pastors that says, well, just listen to me. No, he wants you to read the Bible and he wants you to study it. He doesn't want you to just take his word for it. Like so many pastors.
No, I was right. It is the Gospel of Thomas. It is part of the Apocrypha. I don't know what I was thinking. Sorry.
Yeah, there's between 14 and 20 books, probably, I would say, that some people would like to have in the Bible that everyone commonly reads that sometimes aren't.
Dun, dun.
Two more service. Well, let's see. We got this week and next week. And then that's the last two services of my church as it exists today. Because then we start having
transforming. It's like Voltron.
Well, kind of, sort of. I mean, we're going to change names and everything when we complete the merger, which we're looking at doing in January with another church. They sold their building, thankfully. And that's going to make the transition easier. They're going to bring like $100,000 from that sale. Not all of what they got for the building. The rest of it just paid off their loan. I got asked. I'm probably going to wind up making a History of Grace video slideshow kind of deal. Where I have pictures over the years, and I need to get with the one lady who keeps track of some of that. And actually, what I should do is
is she okay with you getting with another lady?
She knows I would never touch this woman. All right, because you know why? Because she actually trusts me. I can't speak about your wife.
Woo, anyway, you're throwing down.
So, well, we got a wall of pictures and stuff from over our history, because our church was over 105 years old. So, in one form or another, we've always been the name of the church. We did change name at one point. The church was Grace Memorial. Now it's just Grace Ministries. So it's the other church's name is Lighthouse Ministries. As in God's lighthouse. But so it'll be an interesting thing. I know some of the old people. I've heard their band play, and their band is rocking, and the old folks ain't gonna like it. Your guitar is too loud. Anyway, but that'll be a busy time, and then we'll find out what happens after that. So I may not run for the board again after the merger's complete, but we'll see. Depends on what God wants for me. I felt God wanted me there, and I was glad I was there when I got the vote on all that stuff. That's what happens.
I think God wants you to get a job at Walmart.
No, God wanted me to work at Illusion in the cloud, I guess.
I'm sorry for being irreverent, but my daughter was dating, and I know it's not properly called a Mormon. It's Church of Latter-day Saints or something like that. And again, I don't mean to be disrespectful about that either, but anyhow, so in common vernacular, I'm going to say she was dating this Mormon kid, very nice family. And he said, the prophet is going to tell me where my mission is. Like, they all, once they graduate high school, they go on a 2-year mission to some location. And I was teasing him. I said, there's no prophet. It's just a magic eight ball.
Oh, yeah. Wait, does he have the special underwear?
I never asked.
No.
And it's Mormon magic underwear.
Mormon magic underwear. See, there's a reason I'm not a Mormon. There's a reason I'm not Catholic either.
And, you know, I joke about this stuff, and I'm sorry. I don't mean to be disrespectful to other people's religions, because they could be as equally disrespectful to, you know, my religion, which is hedonism.
But, yeah, for me, I've never been one of those ones like, you know, where a name of something or how you identify something, be it, you know, who you are or what building you go to, you know. To me, you know, there are going to be some people through this that are going to be sad about it. There's going to be some people that leave. I'm more excited to see what's going to come of this, because we're basically going to almost double in size overnight. So, and I just want, I'm excited for that. You know, for some, they're sad that, oh, you know, Grace Ministries is going to go away, you know, which, you know, as we are today, yes, but we're going to end up being better, working with the members of the other church and becoming one church, a new church under a new name, you know. And it's, to me, it's one of those things where, you know, our church, but my way too, here's the other side of that. Our churches are probably less than 5 minutes from each other. Why do we need two churches from the same denomination
that close to each other?
Joel, this is all you have to do, right? The first two people that walk through the door have to knock into each other and fall to the ground, and the one guy's going to turn to the other person and say, you got your chocolate in my peanut butter, and the other one says, you got your peanut butter in my chocolate, and then they taste it, and they taste great together, and everybody's happy.
Right.
Except it's with Bibles. And not chocolate and peanut butter.
But everybody likes chocolate and peanut butter, right?
Yeah. I actually I met the other pastor who's in that there my pastor and this the other pastor, the other church, they're going to pastor this new church together. You know, because at some point, my pastor's getting up there in age. He's going to want to retire at some point. He came right out and said it. You know, 4 or 5 years, he might be done. So, but this other guy, he's actually fairly technically adept at things. Certain things like that I'd love to have done, he already did it kind of on his own. Like we had a snowstorm a few years ago, and their church actually had their service, but they did it all online. So he did it from his house, so he didn't have to go outside in the snow, because it was pretty bad snowstorm. So, and things like that, and some of the things that, it's one of those things where the things they do, that they're strong at, are things where we're not as strong as we used to be. So it's like I said, it's going to work out. I think it's going to result in me not having to do quite as much as I used to have to do, but. And again, I could be wrong. It could be more. I don't know. We'll find out. I already got 2 videos I'm going to work on before the end of the year. So, you know.
Hey, Rich. Rich. Where the hell did Rich go?
I don't know.
Oh, I'm driving me nuts. We're going to ask him a question.
He must be muted. He's in there.
No, he's there. Oh, he's probably off doing something else.
You know what I munched attention. On right before the show? You know what I munched on?
Let me take a guess. Does it start with a C and an H and it has 2 words? And it's
Chex Mix, man.
Yeah, there we go. Chex with barbecue, right?
Oh, I had a batch of buffalo I made earlier.
Oh, yeah,
in the
buffalo
week.
I meant.
Yeah. Yeah, then I made the regular today.
Just like peanut butter chocolate.
You know, some people are fans of making Muddy Buddies at home. I'm like, let me just go to the store and buy the bag of Muddy Buddies, because Muddy Buddies are a freaking mess to make.
They look like you can get powdered peanut butter and powdered chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
And
peanut
make it much less
expensive,
messy.
Expensive though, isn't it?
Yeah, not too bad.
Peanut butter powder's not
makes.
That bad.
It's like $10, isn't it?
It lasts a long time, too. It has an incredibly long shelf life, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but...
It's dry. I mean, okay.
Making Nutty Buddies.
I don't think I paid any more than, like, $6 or $8 for the big thing of peanut butter powder that I had.
Like at Sam's Club.
Yeah, and you're mixing it, I think it's, what, 2 portions of peanut butter to 1 portion of water? So you're getting a third more than that.
I like it better too. Like if you want to like cut up an apple and like
right.
So what I'll do like for an apple, I'll take mix it together with the water, and I like that for dipping it rather than straight up peanut butter because it's just so easy to dip.
Yeah, and it makes it a lot easier to make smoothies.
Yes. Yes.
Some yogurt, a couple of bananas, toss some peanut butter powder in there, a little bit of milk to thin it out.
You don't end up with a big lump in there? You don't end up with a big lump of peanut butter in there?
Right.
Like, a good smoothie. Oh, what's this?
Chex has some different recipes now. They have movie-themed recipes. They have Polar Express Hot Chocolate Chex Mix. Christmas Story Rich Chocolate Chex Mix, Cousin Eddie's Spiked Eggnog Chex Mix, Buddy
I wonder
Elf,
how many of them taste
Chex.
Like exactly the same.
Avengers Infinity War Everybody's Dead Chex Mix.
No, you know how to make that, man. You just take the bag of Chex cereal out of the box and then just stand on it until it's dust. Maybe put some food coloring in it, but yeah. They got some different recipes on there. I'll have to look at some of those. I don't like get like some of the ones though are like really sticky sweet, which I kinda like the savory Chex recipes more than the sweet ones. There's a couple sweet ones that taste good. Like just plain old Muddy Buddies is fine. Ooh, bacon honey barbecue Chex Mix. Does it actually? Yeah, it looks like it actually has bacon in it.
I don't know. Chex Mix should be salty and sweet, not salty and salty.
You don't want a bacon salt lick Chex Mix?
No, I'm good.
Well, that would be salt.
Anchovy
that
salami?
Would be salty and sweet.
What would bacon salt lick or anchovy salami?
Candy cane crunch Chex Mix.
Disgusting.
It's got rice Chex, vanilla baking chips, and coarsely ground peppermint candy canes.
Disgusting.
Yeah, one bite I could tolerate, but I don't think I could eat like that.
Yeah, I'm with you. A lot of it. Not like the original. The original is like the classic, the one I have always had, and my mom has made since the 70s. And that I now make. Actually, if you look at the recipe, lately I've been kicking it up a notch, and I'll put one more tablespoon of Worcestershire in it than it calls for, and it tastes better. That's probably because it's a little saltier. Because Worcestershire is salty as F. A lot of Worcestershire for things, though.
Does anybody here work with databases?
Yes,
a little.
Well, so at work, we've been starting to move into the Google Spanner database, and there's a request for coming up with a process for managing schemas and being able to stand up tests, test schemas to be able to load test against and compare that with the current schema. I then have like a migration tool for managing schemas. Anyway, there's really nothing out there that does what we want to do. So we're having to like build this ourselves through a series of scripts and stuff. One of the things that came out of this that the team that first started using Spanner was using to get a better visualization and be able to work with it in their way, in kind of an IDE way. I don't know if anybody's ever used stuff like MySQL Workbench or whatever other offerings, but there's one that they were using that worked with Spanner, and not a lot of these work with Spanner. A lot of times it's like MySQL Workbench works with MySQL. It might work with Postgres, and it absolutely works with Maria Database. But anyway, this tool that they were using is called DBeaver, and I don't know if you guys have ever heard of it or used it, but DBeaver is a... It's an interesting application. I found it kind of, it was neat. What do they call it? It's a universal database client, but it's kind of like almost like an IDE for databases. It's kind of a bad word to say what it is, but a graphical one. And it has a lot of integrations with pretty much almost any database you'd want to use it with. They have a huge selection of supported databases. Of course, there's no SQL databases and SQL databases, but there's two versions, right? There always is. There's an Enterprise Edition and there's a Community Edition. Community Edition's under the Apache license. Enterprise isn't. Enterprise is kind of like a monthly subscription fee, I think. But if you need to use with NoSQL databases like Couchbase and stuff like that. I don't know if they have Redis support. Weren't you talking about Redis before, Joel?
Vaguely.
So I'm trying to see. Actually, is Couchbase in here? That's a good question. As a NoSQL database, I don't see it listed in here, so I don't count on Couchbase, and I might not be looking because I didn't look at it for NoSQL. I was just Purely interested in the capabilities of Spanner. So it does have Redis support in there. Apache Cassandra. I don't see Couchbase in here. Anyway, check it out if you're interested in like a graphical interface to different databases. dbeaver.com. There are a bunch of different packages that you can get. You could do an RPM, Debian package. There's the 64 and 32-bit TarGZ archive installers. There's also Flatpak. They have Flatpak. I know that because that's how I installed it on my Fedora, because I wanted to do some testing on it through Fedora, see if it actually works, see if I can connect to the Spanner database. And yes, it absolutely does work. So it's I would say check it out if you're interested in that kind of thing.
I've been trying to teach the we have a LinkedIn Learning at work, and I've been watching through some of the Jenkins stuff because we use Jenkins for
yeah,
Jenkins. A lot of stuff.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I don't work with the SaaS product. We're just a AHS or basically hosting. But from what I've heard, the SaaS customers, they actually deploy our software updates via Jenkins. I'm not 100% sure how they do that because I know how our release system works. But, yeah. So eventually I'll probably learn that. And they're trying to push. They want to do us to do a lot of automation, automate. I've been automate like a the PowerShell script I wrote. In fact, I finally figured out what was wrong with it.
It's PowerShell?
No. no, I wrote it on our we have like a little test server, that we use, and our test server had 7-zip installed in a standard C program files location, and our clients usually don't install it there. So I had to insert a path command at the top of the script before it would create the zip file correctly on the client machines. Didn't notice it until after I put it on several client machines, so I got to go back and clean those dang things up. But that's, you know, I think we're just at the beginning of that on how to automate things from with that standpoint. Now for monitoring, they use a tool called Logic Monitor currently, but we're migrating over to something called Datadog. Have you ever heard of Datadog?
Yes, I've used Datadog.
Okay. I'm hoping that we can plug in some things to it so that we can do things like what I would like to see is if there's a way we can monitor the heap size on some of our Java processes so that we can have it trigger alerts when the heap is getting to be too high, or in other things like for example, I'd love it to be able to do a status check on some of the IIS sites that we have. Probably one of the annoying things is when we process an upgrade on some of these IIS sites, it basically is an install shield, okay, that you run over the existing site. Well, it is possible, if you don't know what you're doing or if you forget, that you just run the install shield and just move on because, oh, it works, you know. Well, you forgot. The annoying thing with our install shields is it resets all the advanced application pull system settings. So, it'll reinstate a automatic recycle every 1,740 seconds. It will reduce the maximum worker processes from one or from whatever it is down to one, you know, and that could seriously impact performance. So one of the things I'm hoping that we can do with Datadog is have it monitor those and say, if you don't see X amount of worker processes trigger, you know, once it's managed that way, we know it triggers an incident, we can go in and fix it before it actually becomes a problem. But, well, you know, that's my hope. I don't know a lot of it. I assume they're going to get us some training on it, which would be helpful. But
training on what?
Datadog.
Oh, well, first off, I use we use Jenkins for deploying everything.
Yeah.
But in regards to Datadog, you know who works for Datadog?
No.
Jeremy Garcia.
Really?
Yes, he works for Datadog. And so who's the guy that does Scale?
I don't know who the head of Scale is.
I don't want to say his name is Elon. Gosh.
It's not Elon.
It's not Elon, but it's oh man, I can't remember. He was at Ohio Linux Fest that one year, and I believe Jeremy Garcia was there. I think it was the same year that Jono was there. Jono and Jeremy, and yeah, so he works for Datadog too. But yeah, I use Datadog. It's really good. I like it. I liked it. You can do a lot with Datadog. I think you're going to find it really useful, Joel.
Hopefully. One of the things I love it is if we can have it reduce some of the... we'll get incidents where they come from monitoring because... I'm trying to think what the top one we get is we have a couple of our clients that are having issues with their network. One of their payment systems go down. And it's not our fault, but we get alerted. It's nothing we did. And things like that, with these false positives with that kind of monitoring. But I was in professional services land for most of the last week doing a install for one of our on-prem clients.
But is that your old job?
Yeah, technically.
Well,
yeah.
They sucked you back in, didn't they?
Well, it's one of those things where they whittled the professional services team down to one that I used to belong on, and then they sold three new contracts, all on-prem. So yeah. There's that. But Scale. I actually, you know, it's funny you mentioned Scale. That just reminded me I need to start looking for possibly. I want to look and see if possibly if I can go to MRF next year.
MRF?
MRF, Midwest RepRap Festival. Oh, dude, it's like the same time as my birthday.
Wait, what is that? Yeah, Midwest what?
RepRap Festival, 3D printing.
Oh, you know what? Not to take away from 3D printing yet, because you go off on that and just say it, but I'm a little behind on some of my shows like Linux and the Ham Shack. So I was listening to when they went to the Ham Fest this year, and I don't know if you listen to any of those shows, but somebody... Like 2 days in a row, some old guy lost control of their jazzy scooter and ran into their table and pushed the table into poor Cheryl, giving her a nasty bruise on the one day and not as bad.
Well, you really are behind.
Yeah, I'm really behind, right? So I'm still like...
Yeah, when I get too behind, I just mark them as listened and go on.
But I
Should there be like a driver's license for them things? And if you have too many accidents with them,
I don't know. That's what she was saying. Look, it's not hard to stop, but there's no brake system on these things. But it's not hard to stop, and I guess nobody ever told the people how to stop when they picked them up. So,
well, I'm wondering how many of them are regular riders of them, or how many of them just rented a car.
Yeah, so I think a lot of them were just renting them.
At the Ham Fest, do they have the aisles extra wide so there's jazzy passage?
Not really.
They tape out lanes for the jazzies?
Not really. Although I do have a room for Ham Bench and Weekend. Do have that scheduled.
Is it jazzy accessible?
Is this the Ohio Ham Bench?
No, Dayton. Well, technically, it's the Dayton Hamvention, but it's actually in Xenia, Ohio.
That's not the one that Russ.
Yeah, it is.
So were you there last year?
No, I haven't gone in a couple of years.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I don't remember you talking about seeing that. But
no, I haven't gone in a couple of years. I do say hi to them whenever I see them there, but
yeah.
I don't always. I don't religiously listen to Linux in the Ham Shack. Yeah, I kind of cherry pick episodes with them, from them. Yeah.
Damn. One of our listeners.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry,
Tony was asking about Linux in the house.
Linux in the house.
Linux in the house. Holy moly!
It's dead.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. Maybe I'll see about doing something with the little one day, but we'll see. We will see. But you know, so Russ and Cheryl know you, right, Joel? You met them before.
Yeah.
And stuff. So yeah. That's
many times. Yeah. Many times.
I really do enjoy their show.
Yep. Midwest Rep Rap Festival, Friday, April 3rd through Sunday, April 5th.
Where is that?
Goshen, Indiana.
Where is that?
It's in the land of Goshen. It's like nowhere, dude. Let me figure out how far away that is.
Too far.
So there it is. Got to zoom out to find out where it is.
That means finding a hotel room is going to be a pain in the ass, because it's a little town, man.
How far is that from the border of Michigan?
It's not all that far from, Michigan City. See, the closest town you probably heard of is South Bend.
Well, it looks like it's almost like
Elkhart.
Yeah, it's really closest to the border. Yeah, well, it's not as close as South Bend. I think South Bend's a little more north, but further west. This is right near Michigan.
South Bend is practically Chicago.
Yeah, it's on the other side of the lake from Chicago, but it's four, depending on how you go, it's either 3 hours, 53, it's from between 3 hours, 53 minutes to 4 hours and 9 minutes from Columbus.
Yeah, it looks like it's pretty much, going up 33?
Yeah, around 30. 30
I wonder if I still got cousins out that way.
Now you got a reason to go visit, man. Go to, end up in Goshen for, what Joel's going to.
There is a IRF, which is the East Coast Rep Rap Festival. Yeah, the East Coast Rep Rap Festival. Where is that? Oh, Bel Air, Maryland, right in Doors neighborhood. Yeah, Midwest. I think Murph is a little bit larger. I think it's also older too. Of the those two, and probably about as close as you'll get to a 3D printing specific festival. Outside of maybe like a maker fair, which I don't know if are they still doing maker fairs? Yep, they are. In fact, there's one in Paris. And this weekend, I think. But I think Make Magazine isn't Make Magazine done? I think, or are they coming back? I can't remember.
As far as I know, they're done.
Yeah, no, they were done for a while. Well, you can buy a subscription still. 4 issues a year.
For what? Wait, what were you talking about?
Mega Magazine.
How much is a subscription? Is it just PDF?
$35.
Eh. Last time I saw an issue of Make Magazine, I think I saw it in Radio Shack.
It must be fairly recent because it's got the model that I printed for Halloween. In the bottom right-hand corner of their website, and that's a fairly new model. Yeah, that was from October 31st. That was a fun print.
What have you printed recently? The tree?
Yeah, there's trees. One of them is one I got off of Thingiverse. One of them I made myself. The one that's just more or less a straight-up spiral is one I did myself in Fusion 360. And I took one of the ones I did myself and I printed it in transparent filament. And then and I did it in face mode, so they're actually hollow. So I just poked a hole in the bottom of it, and then I printed a stand to hold one of those little T-light LED things, and it lights up. I don't know if I posted that on MeWe. But I got those decorate in my office right now. I'm printing ornaments that I'm going to bring to our team meeting in Florida and give to my teammates for Christmas. That's the thing the 3D printers are great for, is that kind of stuff. Printing up little gewgaws to give people.
It's cost effective too, isn't it?
It's pretty cheap. Nice. I got a gift card box I made. I think I'm gonna put that as part of one of the gift cards. I usually end up giving gift cards to most of my Tennessee family. But what kind of sucks this year though is my
son. You should 3D print them a gift card now.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it'd be worth nothing.
it's a thought that counts.
Right. I have to, my son has a bowling league on Mondays, and the 23rd is Monday, 23rd of December, and I'm off work. I already took pretty much the whole week off, and I was going to get out of my dad's, and I had to change my plans because his adult bowling league that he bowls in on Mondays, they have this strange rule. You can't pre-bowl unless the whole team pre-bowls. Right? So if you can't be there, but the rest of your team can, you're supposed to get a sub. My son, of course, doesn't want to do a sub, which I think annoys the hell out of me. But we're not leaving for my dad's until December 24th.
Wait, what does that mean? Like, if one person pre-bowls, they all have to so you mean
the only way they can pre-bowl is if the whole team pre-bowls. So if just one person wants to pre-bowl, you're SOL. You've got to get
so what you're saying is if you couldn't make it, then the whole team would have to pre-bowl and nobody would show up.
No, No, well, that's true. Nobody would show up if the whole team pre-bowled, but if he can't make it, then he has to get a sub. So he can have a sub where basically he still pays his lineage, he still pays for his bowling, but somebody bowls for him. He doesn't want to do that.
So what kind of rule is that, though? So basically what they say is, if you can't show up and you want to pre-bowl, your whole team has to pre-bowl and they don't show up. So what does the other team do? Just play?
No. How it works, Dan, is if only one guy can pre-bowl and the whole team can't pre-bowl, then you get a substitute bowler for that person and the team shows up anyway.
But I guess what I'm asking is, what would prevent the whole team from being able to pre-bowl?
Because the rest of the members of your team don't want to?
No, but what I mean is, so if you can't show up, according to the rules of this league,
you have to get a sub.
You have to get a sub, but if you wanted to pre-bowl, then your whole team would have to pre-bowl, to which I say, if they did that, then what happens with the other team in their bowling? They just bowl by themselves?
Yeah, basically.
But yeah. So what's the difference between bowling by yourself or bowling against a team that only has, like, why can't...
See, I don't know. That's the first adult league I've ever seen that kind of a rule. Every other league I've ever been in, as an adult or a kid, I've been able to pre-bowl for. So this league just has that rule. It's a weird rule. It's a dumb rule. And it probably has something to do with them splitting costs for the beer, man. But right. Not that my son takes advantage of that.
Yeah, I got to get going,
too. It is 4 after 10. Next week is Thanksgiving week. I should be.
I will not be here.
Okay for the show.
I will not be here.
Do you want to record your show next week?
Yeah, well, I'll be here to record.
Okay.
So I will be around. Yeah, have a nice holiday, though. I forgot I was going to mention that, but have a nice holiday.
Eat too much, because I know you will.
Ha!
I already started.
Yeah. So you just like starting already, and you're just going to keep eating continuously?
They got those potlucks at work, and it's like,
oh yeah,
if you're going to set down delicious free food in front of me, what am I going to do?
Well, yeah, that interesting thing about that there, Joe, the week we are in Lake Mary is the week they're also doing their office Christmas party, and they're actually catering it with, I believe, alcohol. And, of course, it's the Friday that I'm scheduled to go home. So it's like... And the boss said, we could change our flights if we wanted to stay. And I'm like, no, I'm just going to go home because I don't want to eat that crap. It's bad enough that I'm sure my diet's going to be shot the whole week because I'm going to be on an expense account. But
yep, I'm putting back on weight. So I'll have to change things up again.
I'm not. I've done 5 pounds.
I'm at 238 right now.
I'm higher than that, but I am down 5 pounds.
All right. And talk to you guys later.
Have a happy holiday.
Happy
Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Safe times.
No, you go down and let her parents?
Yeah, we're going down to Chester, South Carolina.
Here you go.
Yeah. All right, I'm gonna play a promo. So here they
are. Do it,
everybody, for listening. Fire away.
Oh my God!
It's Hacker Public Radio. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
Hi, folks, this is Chatter. Jay Wisher, Honky Magoo, 5150, and I have started a new podcast. Yeah, I know we should have gotten Brian Lunduke to do the voiceover, but he wanted a script, and none of us are any good at scripting language. Anyway, it's Linux Lugcast. We're at linuxlugcast.com. IRC channel, pound Linux Lugcast on Freenode. We record on the first and third Fridays of the month, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 0200 UTC. We talk about things we've tried, things we got to work, things we failed to get working, things we built, and things we broke. Email us at feedback@linuxlugcast.com, and if we don't know the answer, we'll just tell you to install Arch. That's a joke, son. So join us as we stifle the outcry of voices everywhere for another Linux podcast.
Open source, Linux, computers, electronics, science, and amateur radio. We cover it all. Who are we? We are Linux in the Ham Shack, the podcast that brings you and your technology together with the power of software freedom. Drop us in your favorite podcatcher or join us every other Tuesday night for the interactive live show. Visit lhspodcast.info for all the details, news, and information. We are Linux in the Ham Shack, and we want to open your mind.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush.
Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
Yeah.
Yep.
Did you get Disney Plus yet, or are you going to?
Probably eventually, but I talked to somebody who has it, and they said it's all right right now. There really isn't much on it.
The Mandalorian.
Besides that, and they're releasing it like one episode a week, so.
Which is lame.
Right, and he said, his response to that, well, yeah, they kind of need to do that because they really don't have anything else, and just keep people subscribed, is keep them, you know, keep them hooked into that.
But the story, I don't know anything about, there's two things I know about The Mandalorian, other than the fact that the dude looks like Boba Fett. It's after Jedi, apparently. But they actually have a baby, or, well, a, not baby, but 50-year-old Yoda creature.
Yeah, I saw something about that. I didn't get into it. I didn't want to.
And it canonizes the the holiday special.
Oh, interesting.
Which is so bad, because I guess it was Life Day in the first episode. You know, Life Day, right? You remember,
yes.
Life Day?
Yeah.
Okay. You can actually, I found the original Star Wars Christmas special on YouTube, and it's so bad. Oh, it is horrible. The only redeeming part is the Boba Fett cartoon in the middle of it, because that was before Empire when that came out. It was in that limbo period.
Yes, it was.
And you had B. Arthur and Art Carney and Diane Carroll. And the Diane Carroll thing was creepy, too. Because it was Itchy was watching it in like a VR headset or something. It was weird. Oh, was it weird. Besides the fact that the Wookiees look like shit. Itchy, yeah. Nala, and Lumpy.
I stopped recording, Joel. Say goodnight.
See ya. Good night.
Not getting very good volume right this second.
Oh.
Hey, Rich.
Yo.
Hey, Joe.
We've established that many times. You are a yo-yo.
Much better. Breakaway connectors. There you go, Jojo.
Oh, my father-in-law brought his iMac to, what was it, Best Buy, and they sold him a $200 a year contract. And I dropped by his house. He plugged a USB cable into the Ethernet jack and configured where the Ethernet goes.
You're either supposed to be reading or typing. Get over it. Say that one more time, Rich.
I wasn't around to help out my father-in-law, so he brought his iMac to Best Buy. They sold him a $200 contract, and he brought the computer back, and he plugged the USB port into the Ethernet jack and couldn't figure out where to put the Ethernet cable.
Oops.
Wait. He paid $200 for a contract?
Yeah.
Were they even able to help him?
Apparently the dongle wasn't plugged in all the way, and I'm like, Bob, you paid $200 for them to plug the dongle in. He's like, but I got a contract, they'll fix it for 2 years. I'm like, okay, Bob.
That's like worth more than the computer, isn't it? The contract?
Maybe.
For $200, they promised to charge him to fix it for the next 2 years?
Right. Yeah. You know, serious, this is elder abuse. This is, you know, he's a very nice older man. And, you know, there is no way. I would expect if any one of us had a store and somebody came in and their only problem was the dongle wasn't in all the way, you'd fix it and you'd send them on their way.
Pretty much.
Do you want me to honestly answer that for you?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, do you want me to do it on the show proper or do Either it before way. The show? I mean, would this be a good topic for the show?
Yeah, all right. Yeah, what the heck?
Yeah,
I got very little to talk about.
I will answer that for you. Oh, yeah.
Well,
right, Joe? Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah.
We got a longtime listener in the listening booth right now, Matt King. He sent me a message earlier, and he is trying to find contract work here in the North Texas area, and I don't know much about contract work. And I know a couple of y'all have done contract work before, so I didn't know if you had any advice or anything.
Yeah, I got calls for, you know, like today, I got calls for Las Vegas, I got calls for Maryland, I got calls for, you know, it is a frickin' fruitcake. What was the site I used to look at? I know it changed names. And it wasn't Tech Jobs. But there was like a contracting board where you could put up what you do, your skill set, and
Fiverr?
Not a Fiverr. I mean, you could try that, but that's what I wouldn't go for. I mean, that's a gig type thing. No, but
I think instead of the type of contract work you're thinking about, you know, 6 month contracts and things like that, I think he's thinking of more
a Fiverr type thing.
Well, you know, you work for so and so, but you work when you can.
Oh, okay.
And get paid for that.
That's a little tougher to do. I've had a couple of those over the years, but it's kind of tough to maintain that relationship.
Right.
And tough to fight. Like, I've seen somebody there, like, wants somebody that knows Cold Fusion for 20 hours a week. And I'm like, I can do it. And then somehow it just doesn't work out.
Well, my recommendations for the other type of work that you were talking about was, like, Tata Consultancy Services. They actually treat their people pretty well. Or I know Verizon is heavily hiring right now, but then that's not contract work. That's 40 hours a week. Same with Bank of America. But my other recommendation was to go into business for himself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of this is tough to do because organizations have preferred vendors, and so you usually get like double pimped out to places like that. So it's, I had one instance where a company knew of me, and they knew the company I was working for at the time, but they hired, you know, basically an Indian call center to find me, and they found me through the Indian call center. So it could be like a dumb coincidence like that, where maybe somebody you know doesn't know you're looking for work. They're like, we had your number. We know who you are. We would have hired you direct if we knew you were available. So I guess a little bit of that, yeah, is marketing to your network and ask people, you know, in your network to, you know, see if they know anyone that's looking for whatever your skill set is.
Well, I know Dor talks about helping people find work as well. I don't know if he'd have any more ideas. Do you got the mini PC show tonight?
No, we're not doing mini PC show, so it's just me and Joel all night long blabbing.
Probably.
Please.
Damn! Got the slap down again, right on that ass.
Yeah, he's a dick. We all. Hey, where'd he go? Know that.
I'm got sorry. We didn't mean to cut you off, Joe. Go ahead, finish.
Oh no, no worries, no worries.
Yo, yo, what's up?
Hey, Pat.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, Pat.
Feeling a little better this week.
Good.
I'm a little better too.
Oh yeah.
Guess who was shooting full auto this weekend?
Oh yeah, what'd you shoot?
Shot some Sten guns, M16s.
Ooh, Sten's a good like man.
I think Jerry Micklick can fire quicker than a Sten, though.
Well, they got a slow rate of fire, but they're still awesome, especially if they're, like, integrally suppressed and in the barrel.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we had one that was suppressed.
Awesome. They're pretty, pretty easy to manufacture, those things.
Oh my gosh, they seriously look like, you know, Elmer Fudd with a hammer pounded one out, you know?
Yeah, it's like a fucking
plate. Hey, Dan, there's a good clip for you to roll off.
There we go. Bum, 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 bum.
Hey, Dan, do we still stream?
Yeah, we got a stream going on.
Which one? The stream Tilt's Archive?
No. Well, the only one I know that... The only one that I know that's running still is the main one. So people can connect that one. I'll send it to you.
Please.
I can drop it into Mumble. Would that be helpful in there?
Yeah, that works.
That one right there, people can connect to.
Cool, thanks.
No problem. I guess start the show. Ready?
Faux show.
Yeah, faux show. Here we
do
go.
It.
This yep. is episode. It's 8:35, isn't it?
Are we early? We're early.
No, I didn't mean.
No,
the time.
We're late, but it's actually.
I didn't mean the time we were starting. I just meant the show number 8:35. Oh yeah, you know, it's only 8:31, isn't it?
Well, we gotta get off for four more minutes.
Yeah, right.
What'd you have for dinner today, Joel?
Popeye's spicy chicken sandwich.
There you go.
Actually, I had both of them. Not today, not in one day, but I've tried both of them. They're okay.
You didn't eat the bread, did you?
Of course I did.
Not the empty carbs.
Oh, we're in a potluck award
today.
If you're going to Popeye's to get the spicy chicken sandwich, right?
You're going to eat the freaking brioche.
You're
going to
eat the bread, man. You're going to go all the way. Go all the way.
With Cajun fries on the side. You know, hey.
All right.
Not like I eat Popeye's every day or even every week.
Yeah, sometimes there's McDonald's, Burger King.
You know what, Joel? Did you know that the difference between the regular and the spicy is all in, like, I think the mayonnaise.
It's just a sauce.
Yeah, it's just a sauce. It's like,
yeah, it's like they did
different sauce.
They didn't have the bread, you know. They, and that's what's funny is they actually have the recipe for a decent spicy breading that they could have used.
Oh,
but
yeah,
they do.
Oh, yeah. All right, let's get this show rolling. Talk about good stuff.